Father, this morning we just come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. New week. A couple of days, this month will be over. We just want to thank you, Lord. We just want to thank you, Lord. We just want to thank you. We just want to thank you that there is a throne set in heaven. And your kingdom rules over everything, Lord. Every morning the world is waking up to more confusion, more chaos, more trouble. But Lord, we can be at peace and at rest because we know you are in control always. So this morning we come at this time of prayer, meditation on the word into thy hands, Lord. We pray you would speak to us so that, O Lord, above all, we would have endurance and that patience that comes from your word. Speak to us, Lord, all your children everywhere. Speak healing into every body that is not well. Rest into every soul that is troubled. Pray we will have hearing ears, O Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. We are in Revelation chapter 6. And actually we are in, we saw the seals being opened and we see things happening. We are in verse 7 onwards. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. So I looked and behold a pale horse. The name of him who sat on it was death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them, they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed. So again, the book of Revelation is one of those most startling books. I mean, if you're asleep, you will wake up if you read that book. But like we've been looking at till yesterday, if our focus is not primarily the kingdom and his righteousness, we will not understand life, that all of life is basically a preparation for eternity. And therefore, when we talk about the kingdom, first remember that you cannot have a kingdom unless there is a king. That's why we sing songs about that king. We have to focus on that king, the kingdom, his righteousness, and all that we are seeing are the judgments of the king. Because to uphold his righteousness. And why the time lapse is because the nature of the king is he is patient, he waits. The kingdom and the judgments of the king. And what we are seeing is the end of the age, not of time, but of the age we heard again yesterday, which is being heralded in a series of judgments. So we saw three horses, the white, which was deception, which God allows. The red, which followed by war, which is true. If you go to James chapter 3. James 3 and verse 1 onwards. Not 3, 4, 4, 4, 4. Yeah. 4. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? So you need to realize you cannot have war even inside of you unless you are deceived by the world first. In a family, you cannot have war unless deception comes first. So that is the order in which it is going. So you will see, whichever way it is, you will see, first comes deception, then comes war, then comes famine. And famine can be a lack of anything. Okay, lack of anything. Like in a home, first you have deception. Then you have war between the couple. And then you have a famine of love and peace. Okay, then ultimately what comes is the death of that home. So at a very personal level, to the universal level, you will see this pattern follows, and you will see this in the signs which Jesus in those three gospels when he talks about the last days. So what we are seeing is that order. First comes the white horse, which is deception, then comes war, and then comes famine, and then comes death. So the simple question is then, how do I escape this? Simple, go to the first one. Handle deception, the rest will all fall into place. That's all into place. And the only way we can handle deception is by dealing with truth, which is God's word. Okay, so what we see, the picture here is terrible. The horse is pale in color, basically the color of a dead body. Okay, you see the color of the dead body is a funny kind of paleness because the blood is gone. It's a pale, okay, that's also when fear comes in, the blood drains off your face and they look pale. Okay, so that's the color of this horse. It is pale in color. Okay. And we are introduced here to entity that is called death. Okay, we are introduced to an entity that is called a spirit that is called death. And closely following him is another spirit called Hades. Now, why do I say spirit and not place? Because a spirit is also... we will not understand. When I try to explain also, I can only explain within the ambit of my understanding in this material realm. Because this spirit, which is called death, is coming to take souls and not bodies. Okay? It's not coming to take bodies. It's coming to take souls. And souls, you cannot touch them. But they are real. You cannot realize. So when you're talking about Hades, which is a place, but it is not a material place like our realm, but it will contain the souls. Okay. So they follow one another. They follow one another. So the realities on earth and the realities in the other realm are not the same. They may have the same word, but they are not the same. They are not the same. And you will see in Revelation 20, verse 13 and 14, how these two spirits are ultimately dealt with also, the realm and that spirit. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, well, coming to it, is I always had this, doubt about the souls that die in the sea. Their souls remain in the sea. Okay, so you will see three distinctions over there. The sea, while those who die on earth, they seem to be going to death and Hades. But those who go die in the sea, I'm not talking about the souls of the righteous, but the souls of the unrighteous. You know, millions of people die in the sea or because of water, the floods, no, this thing. So here it says the sea gave up the dead. There are so many things. That's why in the new creation there is no sea. See, it's the entire Noah's flood, they all went into the sea. The whole lot went into the sea, and probably they are the demons because death and Hades did not carry them. Okay, so we do not know. I'm just presuming because 13 is a very controversial words. I mean, you know, we understand death, we understand Hades, but why the sea? And then you will see death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. Okay. But if you read Revelation 21 verse 1, immediately you will see sea coming over there. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. What happens is the creation, the destruction of the old is through fire and the entire sea is vaporized. There is no sea. But death and Hades, because of their spiritual nature, cannot be vaporized. Like I said, a nuclear bomb doesn't do anything to a demon because it only affects that is of material. So the whole sea is disappeared while death and Hades is cast into the lake of fire. So maybe the lake of fire, the sea is just evaporated. You take the sea and throw it into the lake of fire, it just disappears in a second. So what we have is in Revelation 6, what we have is God talking about the judgment. We see this also, this picture, the severe fourfold. If you look at the verse 8, and power was given to them over a fourth of the earth, meaning it is not a geographical location, it is a population, one fourth. Like right now, we are, our population is 8 billion. Meaning the world has never ever seen anything like this. 2 billion people will die. Okay, people will die. Be killed with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. So fourfold. In Ezekiel 14 and verse 21, God will talk about this fourfold judgment he will bring on Jerusalem. For thus says the Lord God, how much more it shall be when I send my four severe judgments on Jerusalem, the sword and famine, wild beasts and pestilence, to cut off man and beast from it. So it talks about the four severe judgments. Here you see the four severe judgment is not the same, but almost the same. You will see this four. We see this in the book of Leviticus also, the forewarning of the consequences of disregarding God's law to Israel. Leviticus 26 and verse 21 onwards, 21 to 26. Then if you walk contrary to me and are not willing to obey me, I will bring on you seven times more plagues according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you which shall rob you of your children, destroy your livestock, make you few in number, and your highway shall be desolate. And if by these things you are not reformed by me, but walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary to you, and I will punish you yet seven times for your sins. I will bring a sword against you that will execute the vengeance of the covenant. When you are gathered together within your cities, I will send a pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. When I have cut off your supply of bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven. They shall bring back your bread by weight. You shall eat and not be satisfied. Okay, so you will see this, the consequence. I mean, we don't like reading all this, but it is a natural part of our life. We know that we live in a world created by God according to laws. Okay, and the first thing, especially as you get older, the first thing that you are careful about when you get up is how you get up. Every time I wake up my wife in the morning, I will say, slow, don't get up fast, don't get up fast, because you know, vertigo comes, you slip, you fall. So that's because you can't do anything about this loss. You can't change this loss. And then you see that in old age, you see that with the babies as they start taking. And why are they tottering? It's because there is a law called gravity. Until you learn to walk according to the law, and even if you're absolutely strong, you misbreak that law, you will fall. So, and the consequences follow. And that is which is called the, there I like the verse, which is called the vengeance of the covenant. Okay, vengeance of the covenant. I will execute the vengeance of the covenant. Because you cannot have a covenant or an agreement without laws. Without laws. Okay, so there is a covenant between two people, or God and Israel. He says, do you agree? They said, yes, we agree. He says, okay, since we have made this agreement and it shall be ratified by blood, let me give you the laws of the covenant. my side, I am faithful. You don't have to worry about me. I am faithful. I will true. I will always keep my side of the bargain. Now you have to keep your bargain. And that's the same thing. Right from the beginning when we are born into earth, we see this earth functions according to certain laws. And if you break the laws will work against you. If you keep the laws work for you. And the only law that has been cancelled out is the law of redemption. In the old Levitical law, all the other laws still work. The only difference is we need to understand what did the law actually mean, which is truth. Okay, the purpose of the law was to reveal the truth. So Jesus did not come with the law because the law was already there. What he brought is the truth. So this is the eternal picture that no man or nation can escape the consequences. I'm trying to change certain words or use two words so you understand. Like instead of faith, I will say faith has trust. So suddenly faith is not a religious word. It's not a religious word. It is like I was talking, not talking, preaching actually, but preaching is also talking. Okay. I said, like every place, every meeting, first I would always tell them with this statement, which was startling, that Jesus did not bring any religion. What he brought was government. What he brought was government. And if you get that into your head, everything will fall into place. I said, one of the things yesterday also in the first service, I said, when you all came, and most of you came on your bikes. When you come on the bike, the first thing, you always, Sunday you'll come to church on the bike, Monday to Saturday you'll go to work on your bike, the first thing you realize is that I have my helmet, I have my driving license, I have my RC for my vehicle, I have my pollution, I have my insurance. These things are there. Then I can drive without fear. And also there is a boldness that comes because you know you have kept the laws of the land. Laws of the land. And you will realize this laws of the land works 7 days. It is not suspended on a Sunday. It still works 7 days. Works 7 days. But the problem with religion is that religion is only for us on a Sunday for 3 hours, and the rest of the week we suspend it because we didn't realize Jesus did not bring religion, he brought government. I said, if you think government, you will realize government is never suspended. It's never suspended. So either you can be a Christian in terms of religion, or you can be Christian in terms of a subject of that kingdom. And how you see will change your life. How you see will change your life. And the problem is Christianity has become a religion just like any other religion. So whether you are a Hindu, you have your idols over there, you do your devotions, pull the curtain and you go. Because it is not a government, it's just a religion. The Muslim will only remember. That's why he has to be reminded by that fellow with that mosque. Okay, this is religion time, get on your knees and pray. But after that, he reverts back to his normal, this thing. But Jesus didn't bring a religion. He brought a government. And when we go against the government is what we are seeing. Ultimately, God has been patient. And he says, now the judgments of that government is ruling. And we don't see government, we will be caught in the same trap. So when we are talking about sin, it becomes a religious word. So therefore, I like 1 John 3:4, where sin is called lawlessness. See, lawlessness is a government word. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. So I prefer the word lawlessness to sin, because sin has been so overused in the church that it is a religious word. So sin is there in every religion. Every religion. So to do this, how to have mukti out of this papam, religion will show you a way. But when you use the term lawlessness, you'll realize it's a government term. It's a government term. It's a government term. It's not a religious term. Okay, it's religious. So Jesus did not bring a religion. Okay, bring a religion. He brought a government. He brought a government, and all that is happening, everything that is happening from the time Adam rebelled against that government is a result of it. And as we come to the end, it becomes worse and worse and worse. And the Bible says, lawlessness will increase, abound, abound. And therefore, the love of many will grow old. called lawlessness. Lawlessness. So keep that in mind. So what we are seeing in the book of Revelation is it's the wrath of the king which is being unleashed, and 1/4 of the population will disappear. That's 2 billion will die. And the world, like I said, after even not even Noah's time. Noah's time must have been approximately, they say, around 100 to 200 million people maximum, if that was there. So we are talking about unprecedented numbers. And the Bible says to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. And there are two things here connected with beasts. One is, we saw it, beasts will multiply. When people start dying, beasts will multiply. And we saw during COVID times. When the lockdown took place, the beasts started moving into the towns. Okay, what we call towns were once upon a time their natural habitat. They started moving into the towns. We saw them coming, but they were still few in number. But the other side is that now what we are doing is that we are creating hybrids. Creating hybrids. Okay, this is not God, this is man. So we have a tiger and a lion, which is called a Tigon. Okay, Tigon is there. So all kind of things are being experimented in the labs which we do not know of. They are creating all kinds of stuff. And when this thing happens, I do believe these things will get out of their cages. And that the way they kill won't be like the way we are used to. That's why all these weirdo movies where you have all kinds of creepy crawl, not a weird beast coming and killing. Okay, remember there are diabolic people sitting in hidden labs creating and this thing, even the all kind of things they are doing. So that's what it's talking about. And by the beasts of the earth. Okay, so I do believe that time comes, all kinds of things will happen. All kinds of things will happen. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. The name. See, all these things have to happen because otherwise even the saints will go to sleep. See, like I said, all these are written. And this becomes very interesting because every time when I speak about it, people look, I said, all this was written for the believers. It was not even written for the Jew. Because the Jew doesn't understand. If the Jew could understand, ask him to explain Isaiah 53, he won't understand. He will jump from 52 to 54 because he doesn't understand. If you don't understand Isaiah 53, that means you haven't understood the Old Testament. Because the whole Old Testament is hinged on that one chapter, the Messiah coming. What are you waiting for is the whole question. So if you wait for something which is wrong, then your whole waiting was wrong. Was a waste of time. Okay, so it was written for the believers. Specifically for believers who would come to Christ, because the whole Old Testament is the law and the prophets, and the Bible says when one turns to Christ, the veil is lifted. So it was written for us. And it was specifically written for those who are living in the last days. Because those who are not living in the last days don't need all these warnings. They all have to be told, be holy, be righteous, and get ready for death. But those who are living in the last days, everything is written. And it is specifically written for our times because our times has something which no other time has. It is preponderance of news and the rapidity with which it is distributed across the world, which never ever happened before. Like I said, you are all young, but we see the speed in my generation. It was the radio. Then we saw black and white TV. Then we saw color, then cable came in, and then 20 years, 25 years back, internet came into mainstream. And now the speed, when they are upgrading us to 5G and then 6G and all, what is the whole purpose? The speed with which you will be knowing when famine takes place and earthquakes takes place and wars take place, the speed. So these were written for our times. So the prophecies take more powerful relevance for the people who are living in that time, because we understand prophecy better than any generation. The surprising part is that I've been trying to read, I was telling the pastors there, I've been trying to read, because what we have is this. And what this gives you is access to the thoughts and the revelations and the interpretations of biblical scholars of hundreds of years back at our fingertips. And you take, let us say, we are looking at Revelation 6. You look at Revelation 6 and try to go back within time and see how did a man living in the saint, living in the 2nd century see it, 4th century see it, 10th century see it, 100 years back see it. You will see the way they saw it and one level was the same. Other level it was completely different because they did not have access to what we have. Did not have access to what we have. So we need to realize everybody read according to their times, but their times were limited. And we are reading in a completely different context. So when the fifth seal is broken, okay, when we come to verse 9, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now please understand, Jesus never left his disciples, therefore all of us, in doubt. As the suffering and the martyrdom they would be called to face if they preached the kingdom. Like I said, when you preach the kingdom, okay, when if it's interesting, the minute the Magi come and make this statement, where is he born king? There are two groups who are troubled. One is the government, the other is the religion. Both these groups are troubled when they announce Jesus. Where is he born king of? The government is troubled because the issue with is that you can only have one government within the government. Now you have a massive crisis at the Texas border. It is not the immigrants coming in. Texas has defied the federal government and the Supreme Court. So it's a catch-22 situation. Nobody knows what to do now. Because if the federal government intervenes forcibly and Texas fights back, you're back to civil war again. Back to civil war again. And the problem is that 25 states are siding with Texas. So it's a country is divided into 26, 24. It's divided into. We are looking at things that the rapidity with things are going on. If you look at Biden is talking, sometimes he's not talking nonsense. They are planning, plotting something. He says, you know, the statements he has made it repeatedly in the past 2 years. He says, you will need F-16s to fight us. Basically, he's saying, you try something, we'll unleash the Air Force against you. That's what he's basically saying. But the question is, you're assuming the Air Force will be loyal to you. Be loyal to you. Because we face something like this in our times. When Operation Blue Star took place, the Sikh regiments marched against the government. Marched against the government, and the government had to call in the other regiments to crack down on those regiments, and they were pushed back. Okay, because you need to understand when a nation gets divided, what happens. Okay, and things just could go out of hand any time, but we don't worry because we know there's a throne in heaven. Your king. That's why it is so important that we are focused on the king and the kingdom, because his kingdom. Because my perception is, political perception is this, if civil war breaks out in US, immediately China will attack Taiwan and take over. Because they know there is no US to stop them. Then the whole Southeast Asia will go up in flames. The whole thing will turn. And that is what we are talking about, government. So we need to realize when we are looking at this, the end could be so sudden. Because a series like, you know, Archduke Ferdinand, right, was going for a theater, if I'm right, my memory is right. He was in Serbia, he was going to a theater to watch a drama, and a guy shot him. Second World War started. What triggered all that was his assassination. The same thing. If by any chance, God forbid, President Trump is assassinated, civil war will start. It will start. Okay, and these guys who are demonic at the top, they don't care about the consequences. They don't care about the consequences. Okay, so we have to look at it. That's why Jesus is warning. He says, you know what, you people preach the kingdom. the gospel of the kingdom and about me. And when you are persecuted, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. He said, you will be just talking about. So you will see the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And if you look at Matthew 24:9, Jesus will say, and they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Go to the next gospel, Mark 13:9 onwards. Watch out for yourself, for they will deliver you up to councils. You will be beaten in the synagogues. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. And the gospel must be first be preached to all nations. If you go to Luke 21:12 and then verse 18. Because all four gospels Jesus won. For before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and he's not saying they may, he says they will. And persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for name's sake. And verse 18, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. And John 16 and verse 2. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. Okay, so we need to realize religion and government will always oppose the kingdom of God. And even atheism is a religion because it has a set of beliefs and the deity is man, man at the center. Okay, so you will always see this issue is there, and therefore the Bible says, I saw under the altar. Okay, it says in Revelation 6:9 that I saw, when he opened, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain. Okay, so he's looking into the future. John is looking into the future. Now, the word the altar in heaven occurs more than once in the book of Revelation. You will see that in 8:5 and 14:18. Revelation 8:5. The angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar and threw it to the earth. So there is the altar. In 14:18, another angel came out from the altar, who had power over fire. Okay, so when you are talking about, the altar, again, please understand, you have to rewire your brains. This is a real altar, but it is not material. It's material. Okay, it's not material. It's not like it's a different realm altogether, completely realm altogether. So, when the tabernacle was constructed first in the wilderness, one of the strict instructions given to Moses was it should be exactly according to the pattern given, because there is a temple in heaven. Okay, you look in Exodus 25 verse 9. According to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishing, just so you shall make it. Verse 40 also, it is repeated. See to it you make them according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. So we'll think, what was Moses doing there for 40 days? If he just had to bring 10 commandments down, you don't need 40 days for that, okay? What he is being given in those 40 days is a vision of the temple in heaven. So he would remember every detail. Every detail. Okay. So because that pattern is what is brought down over here. So every detail, we have it in Numbers 8:4. Numbers 8:4. And then you go to Hebrews, the book that explains. Now this, according to the pattern which the Lord had shown Moses, so he made. So if you look from the overall pattern to the specific things in the lampstand, the details were given to Moses in a vision on the mountain. Every little thing the vision was given very, very, very clearly. In Hebrews 8, 5 and 9, 23, it will talk. Who served the copy and shadow of the heavenly things as Moses was divinely instructed when he was to make the tabernacle, for he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown on the mountain. Why it is so important is this, yes. But the heavenly things, the copies of things in heaven. Okay, so there are things in heaven. Everything he made on earth was a copy. When it came to the sacrifices in the temple, in the Old Covenant temple for the Jew, the most important part was the sacrifice. And the most important part of the sacrifice was the blood. Okay. In Leviticus 17, right now, verse 14, if I'm right. The reason was the life of all flesh, for it is the life of all flesh. Its blood sustains its life. Therefore, I said to the children of Israel, you shall not eat of the blood of any flesh, for the life of all the flesh is in its blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. And if you come further down, he will say that he has given every, okay, I mean, where he says, 11 and 12, where he says, therefore, I have given you blood to make the blood to make atonement for the soul. Okay, so the life which is basically the soul is our life, is in the blood. If you come to Leviticus verse chapter 4 and verse 7, one of the regulations was this, 4:7. The priest shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of meeting. He shall pour the remaining blood of the bull at the base, that is at the bottom, of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting. See, they were just told to do these things. Okay, imagine this is the altar. There are the horns. He just applies a little. But the whole blood was poured out at the base of the altar. Basically, what is the blood? It is the soul of the creature at the foot of the altar. So what they did for 1,000 years will only start making sense when we look into heaven. These are the souls of people. Are the souls representing the souls of the people. Okay, the souls of the people. So what we see is the souls of the people are beneath the altar. And that's where the blood was poured on earth. So what was doing on earth was just a shadow, a type, a symbol of what is actually happening on earth. Okay, that means their lifeblood had been poured as an offering to God. So we need to understand wicked men may think that they killed and executed them, but in reality their lives were poured as an offering to God. So if you look at January 22nd when we had the Pratishta on January 22nd was specifically picked for two things. One, as a making a statement to the Muslims, the largest minority community over here, we will rebuild our temple over whatever your structure was. And the second community thereafter, that is Christian saying, we picked a day when we, Graham Staines and his four children, in our lifetime was burned to death. So a day was picked. Okay? But God sits in heaven and laughs and he says, they didn't die. You thought you killed them. No. Their life was given to me as an offering. Offering. Apostle Paul will use that in Philippians 2:17 and 2 Timothy 4:6. Yes. And if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. And then, for I am already being offered as a drink offering and the time of my departure is at hand. Okay, so we have to see all these things because like I said, if we don't see this, we will not understand what is happening. When Ignatius of Antioch was taken to Rome to be burned at the stake, his prayer was that he would be a sacrifice worthy to God. Okay. So when righteous men and women die for the sake of Christ and the kingdom, it may look like tragedy on earth, a waste of a good life, but in reality, is the end of a life on earth poured out in service to God and to his people. But in verse 10, we see where again there is a lot of controversy over. And they cried with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on earth. The controversy is that many good servants of God, including, if I'm right, Zach Boonen and all of them, said these are old covenant saints. Because new covenant saints will not cry out for vengeance. Only old covenant saints. But there is a problem. The problem is verse 11. In verse 11, a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them they should rest a little while, longer, while until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. So theory does not work, because this is new covenant saints. And our issue is with this, okay? Our issue is, this is the eternal cry of the righteous who suffer. How long? How long? You see David, Psalms and all, how long, how long, how long? Psalm 79 and all, they cry, how long, how long, how? When saints of God cried this cry, they never doubted God's ultimate vindication. But they were often confronted by, like, you're not doing anything. So when they cry, how long, it is connected with time. Connected with time. And you need to realize, if you read the Bible is earth specific and not so much heaven specific. It's talking about earth. The most important part about earth is time. And time is the most important part of life on earth, because we are just a few people sitting over here, around 9 people here, 7 people here. And you can take the 8 billion people on earth. There is no two human beings who are similar on earth. All different. All different, except in one thing. The only thing we are all equal is in time. And it doesn't matter which part of the globe you are, who you are, what you are. Everybody's account each day, you only get 24 hours. And what you are in time and in eternity is what you used with your time. And when we stand before God, we will be giving basically in eternity an account of time. Account of time. So everything in the Bible is, that's why the first thing God creates is time. It's created. And even earth, even heaven, when you read scripture, except for God who lives outside time. Everything, even their activities, are connected with time on earth. Everything is connected with time on earth, except God. Even demons are affected by time. Even redemption was affected by time. Though man sinned, that is why this confusion, the seed of the woman, for the seed of the woman, it took 4,000 years to come. Behold, I come quickly. 2,000 years, he still hasn't come. So eternity and time is our struggle. In Matthew 8:29, if you read Matthew 8:29, suddenly they cried out saying, what have we to do with you, Jesus, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? These are demon spirits, but they are caught in earth time. No, they know their lives, if you want to call it a life, is controlled by our time. But controlled by time. If you come to Revelation 12 and verse 12, you will see their boss, their king. Now rejoice, O heavens who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows he has a short time. He knows he has very short time. See, when this happens, he knows according to earth he has 7 years. And after 7 years, he will be locked down for 1,000 years. And after that, he's going into the lake of fire. He knows his time. Okay? So when we look why time is such an important thing. And in Revelation 22:10, the Bible says this. the final chapter, verse 10. He said, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. So we need to understand the unsealing of the book itself tells us we don't have much time. Much time. Okay, so there are three major things that is happening. One is the cry of the martyrs. How long? It's connected with time. Because they were once earth creatures. And they are stuck like between time and eternity. Because they cannot enter into the actual eternity. Though they are in eternity, they cannot enjoy the fruits of eternity because judgment hasn't taken place. They are hanging there in limbo. Okay, it's like a baby has been conceived, the baby is growing, but the baby is not born. As long as the baby is not born, it cannot experience anything of this earth. Okay. Does it exist? Yes. But it exists in a different kind of a form altogether in its mother's womb. So the souls that have departed are there, whatever that means. We cannot understand the altar there. They are waiting. How long? How long? How long? How long? The question they are asking is how long? But that is connected with time. Though they are outside time, yet for them to enter into eternity depends upon what's happening here. Earth determines everything over there. Okay, so that is why Jesus says, pray. What should you pray? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is heaven. When God answers that prayer, suddenly with rapidity, things will all start moving in heaven too. That's the reason of the prayers. Otherwise, if he says, like I said, if we don't see government, time, all these things, we won't understand what we are praying. What does this prayer actually mean? Okay. So, they are crying out. Okay. In Revelation 6, yeah, they are crying out over there. Yeah, Revelation 6, 10 and 11, they are crying out. They cried, okay. They cried out with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? First look at what they are addressing. First this is, it's about time. How long, Lord? Okay, two. O Lord, holy and true. If you are holy and if you are true, then you have to judge. You have to judge. Okay. So the titles they are using. Okay. You have, if God is holy and God is true to what he has spoken in his word, he has to judge. Okay. On earth, when we lived, we forgave. Because you said, vengeance is mine. Vengeance is mine. So it is not God has taken vengeance away. Or that we should not desire even for vengeance. Only thing he said that, vengeance is mine, not yours. Vengeance is mine, not yours. Okay, now you look into history and you look at the atrocities that have been done by people and some people in particular, and they reject the mercy of God. In eternity, should not God pour out his vengeance on them? It's a question. That's a question you need to ask. So don't, like I tell people, don't be more spiritual than God. Okay? There are people who are more spiritual, more merciful than God. Then what happens and more loving than God, what happens is they are not true. That is the word, because when you say something true, you need to have a standard. And the standard is God, not you. Standard is God. If love standard is you, then it's not true. It may be very close to the truth, but still it's not true. If the standard for mercy is you and not God, then it's still it is not true. So God doesn't have an issue with vengeance. He only said you don't take vengeance. One, you cannot take vengeance because there are many reasons why God says don't take vengeance. The reason is because if you take vengeance, you are assuming you know all the truth, which you don't know all the truth. But he's the only one who knows the truth, the thoughts, the intentions of everything that happened behind the crime. The whole nine yards, he knows it all. So you don't know it. You can only presume and assume. You can have absolute absolute proof as to this person did it, but you do not have the evidence why he did it. That's why even in the law you have first degree murder, second degree murder, because all murder is not the same. So he says, you do not know. You do not know. First thing he says, you do not know. Okay, second. Yes, a person has committed a heinous crime, but you decide to take vengeance. You have cut him short from the possibility of repentance. Possibility of repentance. So you don't know the end from the beginning. End from the beginning. That's why even in our law where there is capital punishment, even if you're sentenced to death, you don't die tomorrow. There is a season given for you to die. And if you look in the any culture, usually in the culture, Christian culture or any other culture, before he is executed, he has a visit from the priest to get him ready here, ready for the other side. Okay, so because that's why God is talking about it. So when we God talks about vengeance, please remember, he says, you don't take vengeance, I will do it. And second, if you have a good taste for vengeance, then wait for my time, because my vengeance is nothing like your vengeance. Okay, so in the law, if you go to, let's look at two verses, Romans 12, 19 and Hebrews 10, 30. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Okay, Hebrews 10, 30. 3-0. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord, and again the Lord will judge his people. And also you need to realize, why does he say don't take vengeance? Because vengeance is something that is God's prerogative alone. Alone. Okay. Because we have what we call sin in theology and lawlessness in theology, both exist only because of God. Not because of us. Not because of us. That's the difference, like I said, between a kingdom and a democracy. In a democracy, it's the rule of the people, and the people, the majority of the people, can change the laws. They come together, they elect representatives, they sit together, and they change the laws. That's what we see in all the countries happening. They change the laws. But the problem here, the law actually doesn't change. What God has changed hasn't changed, and because God does not change, it does not change. Therefore, God says every lawlessness is basically an act towards me, and not against you. Not against. If God says thou shalt kill, the law. If God said thou shalt kill, then we go by evolution. We have a system which is the survival of the fittest. But God said thou shalt not kill. Now every nation can legislate and change it. It's not going to make any difference. God says, you still are sinning against me and vengeance is mine. I will repay. Marriage is between a man and a woman, and that is it. And it cannot be changed, because Genesis 1 tells you it is between a man and a woman. You can change the laws. Men can get married to men. Women can get married to women. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. I will repay. Because it's got nothing to do with you. It's got to do with me. It's got to do with me. Okay, so that is where we need to realize. We cannot take vengeance. Because nothing is basically primarily being done against us. It is being done against the king and his government. We can ask for justice. But we cannot take vengeance. Vengeance is that is absolutely my domain, not your domain. My domain. Okay, so this is built in. And they are only appealing to what God has revealed. Lord, how long? How long? Will until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on earth. They are not appealing anything that is out of scripture, because God said, I will avenge. Okay? So they are only escaping. And God's response was, each one was given a white robe and to rest for a while. While, he said, a little longer, speaking their language, a little more time. Okay, I know you are in eternity, but you can see the clock downstairs. Keep looking. Okay, GTC brought out the new calendar. If you want, you can have a copy, virtual copy, look at it, a little more longer. Okay, be patient, okay. The reason? Until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, which should be killed as they were, was completed. Meaning, the priest and the laity, both have to die and come. Okay? So he says, there's a certain number. Okay? We don't know. There's a certain number God has determined. Meaning, if you pour into this, drop by drop by drop, it's the only way we can actually count in numbers. Okay, let us say 1,000 drops, and then it is full. 1,001, it starts coming out. So God has a number. Only He knows that number. Okay. He says there's a certain number of people that will die and come in, which will tilt the balance, the scales of justice. And I will say, enough. I will enough. Okay. So that's what God is talking about. But like I said, if we don't see the king as holy, righteous, true, loving, merciful, and his kingdom forever and ever, and if we use the logic which God has given us, we can only have one king and one kingdom, ultimately. As long as there are two kings and two kingdoms, there is always the chance of a war. Of a war. Always a chance. And peace is always relative. If you want something that is absolute, it has to be one. One king. That's why at the end, Jesus himself will be subject to the Father. He'll have one king, one kingdom, and everlasting. So the kingdom is everlasting. And you have to move from time into what is called eternity, which is forever. So we will close today. But remember, Jesus called all this only as the beginning of sorrows. Beginning of sorrows. That is what should encourage saints. That even though all these terrible things are unfolding, it does not mean the world is out of control. All these horsemen ride out only with God's permission. And their power to destroy is given by the same God. That means Psalm 103 verse 19. It's a very powerful verse. And Revelation 5 and verse 2. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and all, and his kingdom rules over all. And I saw, 4-2. When he was, immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set, established in heaven, and one sat on the throne. That's what should give us the encouragement. You know what? Doesn't matter what's happening around the world, even in our own lives, even our own homes. There is a throne in heaven, and he is sovereign. Ultimately, what is unfolding is his will. So he says, if you are wise, seek my will. And if you are wise, you will redeem your time knowing my will. So you have lived your life on earth profitably in the time that is given. That's the whole purpose. This is not fear mongering, but fear is, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. So we will have Peter and we shall pray.
Soar with you above the storm. Father, you are King over the flood. I will be still, know you are God. I will be still, know you are God. My soul. are King over the flood. I will be still, know you are God. I will be still and know you are God. When the oceans rise and fathers roll, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are King over the flood. I will be still, know you are God.
Father, this morning, we just come to you, Lord. We just thank you, Father, that your kingdom reigns over everything, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you are on the throne and you will reign until all your enemies are under your feet.
Yes, yes, yes.
We just thank you, Lord, that we already have passed the wrath of God.
Yes.
Because you took that on the cross for us. We thank you for redemption. We thank you, you paid the price we could have never paid. We thank you, Lord, as we see and as we study what is coming. We really, really thank you, Lord. You saved us from all of it, Lord. Temporal pain, temporal sorrow, temporal death in time is nothing compared to what is coming in eternity. We just thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, thank you. This morning, I commit all your children everywhere, Lord. Especially those who are not well in their bodies, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would touch them. You would heal them. You would strengthen them. Those who are restless, I pray that you would touch them. They would have rest. This is the year you promised us rest. But we have to labor in the midst of all the voices and the demands and the struggles. We have to labor to enter into that rest. And only by seeing in the spirit there is a throne set in heaven and one who sits on that throne, unshakable, immovable. That our today and our tomorrow, all our days are in your hands. Help us to see it, Lord. And for this morning, I commit all your children here, everywhere. From Ace onwards, Lord, everyone into thy hands. Because you said, be still and know that I am God. And then only we can go out and occupy till you come. Touch everyone. Strengthen everyone. Yes, even though the outer body is perishing, yet to do and to complete your will, you can quicken our mortal bodies by the very spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Because there is a work to be finished, a task to be completed, and only this body we have in time. So Father, I pray for everyone who's feeling weak today, ill today, of sickness or of age. I pray there will be a quickening of the inner man, a strengthening of this outer man to do your will, Lord. Touch, Lord, everyone. We just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. New week. Be with all your children, Lord. Go with us, go before us, oh Father.
Thank you, Lord.
We just once again thank you for bringing us through the first month,
yes,
Lord, 29
yes, yes,
days.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you,
thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Therefore, we bless your holy name.
Thank you, Lord.
We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name.
Thank you, Lord.
And once again, we stand in your house and we declare, thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Amen.